How did moving your mum go?
Oh, actually, ups and downs. I want to say it went great, and I want to say it had very horrible attributes. And oof. So I just went right down the middle. It was pretty good. Okay, about 24 square feet of mold was exposed.
Goddamn cordyceps.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. It's, you know, it did not do me well, nor Carl. Carl came and helped, and we both had recovery days, afterwards. It was rough. But, you know, the bright side is that my mom is no longer living in a place that has that much mm-hmm. mold in it. So mm-hmm. it was very good. And her new facility seems pretty great. She's got a lot of people caring for her, and she's still getting used to it, but it's a much, much better environment. Carl and I were remarking, so she lives out near a coastal town that is up on a cliff overlooking a river, and there's like this big deck over the river, and it's just so gorgeous, dude. It's just this giant boulders in this blue green water, and it's just the most beautiful vista. And every time we took a load going, we just had to pause and look at it. It's just like, oh my god, I just want to jump down in there and get out of this mold. And yeah, and then also there was her chair. She spends most of her days in her chair, and it wasn't hi, I'm mildly soiled. It was other than
that's
that.
A reference to something that happened before we hit record.
It was other than that, and Carl and I were both okay. Both just slightly damaged, scarred for life from it. So, and then we put it in the back of the truck, and we put other stuff on top of it, and it's behind us, and we're driving down the highway to get to the new facility, and we're both like, the wind must be going towards our tail, because we can still smell it. Like, it's... I was hoping it was just going to air out in the better way, not back to our noses. But yeah, and then Margaret came to help us after she got off work. She came and helped us load up my mom in the new place, and got him mostly settled in. And today I'm going to go back and hook up her TV and put in a cabinet lower so she can actually get it while she's in her scooter. And she's pretty happy. So it was pretty, and she came, now that she's close in town, she came to church with us last week, and that was nice, and it was good stuff. That was my big trauma of the week, because Saturday, that was on Friday. Saturday was just completely a rest day. I just, mm-hmm. I didn't do anything. I took a sauna for mm-hmm. the first time in months, because I'm like, I got to clean out my pores. But yeah, it was good times.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's,
oof. Yeah. You know, that's how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it's not easy.
No, it's not. But presumably, I don't know about presumably. Is this a place that will afford her more care?
Yeah.
Or is it just a, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Okay. So yeah, she has Medicaid now, mm-hmm. which, and also Medicare. Medicare takes care of her, like, doctor visits and some prescription stuff. And now Medicaid allows for the housing part. And so right. It's government-funded housing. So there's only certain facilities will only have so many Medicare beds or Medicare mm-hmm. rooms that they'll allow or, you know, accept, rather. And because it's, like, it's underfunded, so those rooms are cheaper. And, you know, so they're doing, like, a service or whatever to allow for that. So she has just a tiny studio, but it's about the size of the room that she moved out of. And, but yeah, there's staff on hand. It seems like 24/7, and there's like a, you know, there's panic buttons on the walls and by her bed in the bathroom. And she has a little lanyard one on herself. So she can always hit the button. Yeah. We met some of the staff and they seemed great. And so there's no red flags at this point, which is sadly a thing that we need to look out for is red flags, because there's elder abuse and disabled abuse and all that kind of stuff. Margaret mentioned to a friend that she was moving to a facility, and the friend was like, oh, because you know, she's in nursing school. She's like, oh, let me know which one it is, and I'll let you know what the nurses say about it, and if there's any, you know, bad news and stuff. It's just that kind of thing you have to look out for now, of course, because nothing good can last. I don't know. But yeah, what about you, friend? What have you been up to? What's been hard for you this week?
I had my first proper therapy session in a long while.
Awesome. With awesome. My guy. How'd that go?
It was really good.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it was really interesting. One of the things that we talked about is how each of us might have changed in the 5 years since we last spoke.
5 years?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it had been that long.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, four and a half. I mean, I finished with him, I want to say, sort of around September-ish, October-ish of 2020.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, four and a bit years.
Yeah. Yeah, people change. So what kind of changes did you discuss for each of you?
He talked about his diving more into neurodiversity.
Interesting.
Something which, by his admission and in his language, he knew fuck all about beforehand.
Okay.
And because we were talking about one of the things that I wanted to get a handle on is my inability to make the decisions my past self wants me to make.
Sure. Tell me about it.
Yeah, exactly. And we got to talking about stimming. And he said, you know, do you know what stimming is? And I said, yes. And we were talking about self-soothing and sort of making the connection between stimming and soothing, I think was an interesting one. Using food as a, and it's not, you know, it's this was sort of a bit of an intake session. So it's kind of just, you know, getting ourselves. And actually, I don't think I'd realize this, but I think part of what this session was for him to go, am I happy working with this guy again? Because it wasn't taken as read. I think I sort of in my head, I was like, we'll pick up where we left off. And yes, I'm sure there'll be a bit of adjusting. But I think to him, this was a bit more of an evaluation, which, you know, I passed.
Yay. Great job being broken enough for the therapist to take you on or whatever. I don't know.
Exactly, but not too broken to be too
not too broken,
problem.
But broken enough.
Broken enough. and not having backslid too much, which kind of sort of came up. I mean, it's, you know, it's incredible the things I've learned and had access to over the years since we last spoke. We've both kind of leveled up in a sense, probably a couple of levels. And so we were talking about stimming so that is something that we will pick up on. We talked a, you know, good bit about shame. So
for the uneducated listener, what is stimming?
Let's see if I can find a good, because it's one of those things where I have an integrated kind of understanding of it, but not one that I'm well versed to put into other people's words. Sure. So let's have a look. So Dr. Google. Stimming, short for self-stimulating behavior, refers to the repetitive movements, noises, or patterns of behavior that people frequently engage in, often to self-soothe, regulate emotions, or manage sensory input. So one of the ones for me is humming, sort of low, you know, a low hum.
Okay.
Just like a melodic sort of thing. I find that quite sort of soothing. There's all sorts of interesting things that people have as ways of comforting themselves or soothing themselves.
Would curling up into the fetal position and kind of rocking back and forth be considered stimming? And it's definitely soothing.
I don't know if that's that might be a different thing.
That's both my thing, that's for sure. It's different.
But it did make me think about, and this is what we're going to talk about, I think, a lot, is the relationship between neurodiversion and food.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
In a sense of what we are using to, because part of it, I think, I think the reason he brought it up is because with his greater understanding now, I think he's interested in approaching care from a point of neurodiversion.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, you know, because I don't think he would be he's not a psychiatrist.
Okay.
So, you know, he wouldn't be doing the diagnosing necessarily.
Sure.
But supporting in that, you know, playing a supportive role is absolutely something that he can do. And with the sort of that greater understanding, that means we've potentially got some sort of ground that we can walk on here, which makes some of that support a little bit easier because it gives us a bit of a framework. And so with looking at the reason I bring it up is the idea of what we quote unquote allow ourselves to do, and the things we give permission to ourselves for. You know, he gently picks me up on certain things, and he has a gentle way of kind of teasing, which came out right at the beginning. He was like, "Oh yes, I'm being reminded of your tangents, and sometimes I'm not entirely sure which is the tangent and which is the main point." Fuck.
Called out.
Called out, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can do that.
Yeah.
Because he's my guy.
It's his job.
So there's this, you know, this whole notion about what we give ourselves permission to do. And so, you know, if we look at something like food as a way of helping us self-regulate, the next question is, what are other things that we can turn to that would give us the same soothing, you know, what are healthier ways that we can soothe ourselves? And
for
under
sure.
that framework, it's like, okay, cool. You know, let's see. And for me, the big sense I have is of feeling... when I say feeling supported, I don't mean that I'm not supported by other people, but, you know, there's a sort of taking responsibility. And I even had the thought, actually, of a kind of masculine kind of thought, and it's probably come from watching The Last of Us, of, like, a man, if he's going to take care of other people, he takes care of himself, and that means asking for help.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
You
know, we lived in tribes back in the day. That's, you know, we were the idea that the man goes out and does the hunting. It's like, okay, that might be the case, but that is done within tribes. That's why, you know,
a group of men, not just a single, it's a group of men, not just a single person, a single man. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why social shunning and things like that are so, you know, and banishment and shame are so impactful. This idea that, like, you're just supposed to, like, take care of your own shit is nonsense. And so there's something quite sort of that feels good about, you know, handling your shit and getting the support to handle your shit. So that's quite nice. And it was kind of nice, a nice shape to the day, really, as well, because, you know, this is going to be my Tuesdays now, is go and have some breakfast, plan the episode of Undo that I'm going to write, go off and get therapized and go back to the office and write, which is, and then come back here and talk to you, which is all right. You know, I can, that's a Tuesday I can get behind.
Very nice.
Because it's now Tuesdays that we record, listener. You didn't need to know that.
It matters.
But
matters.
It is the case.
You know, now we're bringing Tuesday energy instead of Friday energy.
Oh, aren't we just bringing Tuesday energy?
A little bit. A little bit. I have a fun schedule for my Mondays right now, which is, I guess it's just the two things, but it feels like more. But I have my art therapy on Monday at 4:00. And then at 6:30, I have my dodgeball.
And incredible.
Those. Oh, yeah.
Have you started the art therapy yet?
Yeah, I've done 3 weeks now.
Oh my god!
And
tell me everything.
It's fun. It's really fun. It's not very deep yet, but it's also still been pretty rewarding and unveiling of things. So. The first day we, you know, just kind of, it wasn't an intake session, but it was close to one because it was my first time with that person. And so there was a lot of, I've got a lot of trauma stories to share and catch up a person on. I'm trying to get them as truncated as possible while still revealing like how this is currently impacting me, kind of thing. And then we got to, and then she handed me every time she's always like, "So do you want to start the art portion now?" And it's cute. And
we've done the therapy portion.
Yeah.
How about the art?
Yeah. And then it's kind of combined, as you would assume. And she handed me a mixed media pad thing and gave me the option of different types of drawing utensils and asked me to draw myself on a bridge. And so I started drawing myself on a bridge and she kept asking me questions and I was trying my hardest to actually draw and talk at the same time, which was not easy for me. I cannot do two things at once. I was like, oh, I want to answer that question. So I'm going to stop drawing and answer your question. And then I turn back and I start drawing again. I'm trying to get myself to do both at once, kind of see where my subconscious takes the drawing.
Yeah. I'm curious with this not being able to do both. Is it because you're trying to do the drawing right and you don't want to, get it wrong while you're speaking to someone?
No, it's more that I want to get the speaking right. I lose focus on drawing. Like I just stop moving. I'm just thinking about what I'm going to say because speaking, my mind clearly does not come supernaturally to me. It's something I've had to work on a lot. And I guess I still work on it a lot. And yeah, it's just, I just find myself stopping the drawing part. So each time I've been trying to just keep drawing while I'm talking and even like doing this little hand gesture, pretending to draw is hard. Although just I talk with my
nose and rubbing your tummy.
Yeah. And which I can do.
Yeah.
You can't see. There we go.
There you go.
I don't know.
I feel like it takes me. I think I'm, oh yeah, no, I'm okay. Now if I try and reverse it, now that's going to be a whole nightmare.
I did see that.
Yeah.
I did see you were doing the same tempo with your circles and your pats.
Oh yeah.
That's a nice hack.
Okay. I can vary it up. That's all right. That's manageable. Oh, yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah. It's the same tempo, but it was just half. You're just tapping half as often.
I don't know what you mean then.
I was just tapping randomly.
Quick tapping. That my tapping has a tempo rather than I was keeping time with the rubbing of my belly. Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. That's why I changed, because I was thinking about is my belly rub being in tempo with my tapping?
That's title. What you were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. So, yeah, I drew. It was kind of fun. I just found myself naturally creating a scene in the drawing. And I was like, I started drawing a stone bridge. And I felt like, oh, that's really representative of like a strong base. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I drew a little stream over the under the bridge. And I was like, oh, it's just all water under the bridge. And then... And then I drew myself, and I gave myself a nice big belly. And I was like, oh, my self-image is still still thinking of myself over there.
Okay.
And right. And I just drew like a little stick figure, but then the stick figure had a big bump in the middle. And then, so I drew myself on the bridge, and I was like, then my mind was wandering to Margaret and the beautiful green dress that she had been wearing that day. And so I drew her with a cute little green dress. And then I just drew some more stuff around it and stuff. And yeah, so it came, I was happy with how it came out. I wasn't trying to like wow anybody with the art, but it was a fun process to try and do that. And then the next session we did, I forgot to bring my mixed media pad because I didn't think I was going to be so long doing whatever I was doing. And she just handed me a paper or a different pad or whatever, gave me two pens, two markers, and kind of similar to binaural stimulation, she just had me do random circles and drawings and lines and stuff with both hands at the same time while I was trying to talk.
Oh, wow.
And
woof.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
I started doing like concentric circles on both sides, but my left side did circles and my right side did squares at the same time. And it was like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then I started doing squiggles, and that, and I noticed that, like, I was kind of feeling a little bit agitated because I had been in a rush that day because of whatever was happening. I can't remember now. And, yeah. And so I was still kind of built up about it. But then eventually I started just doing these even lines back and forth, just kind of swaying back and forth. And I noticed that I was, like, a lot more calm. And I don't know if it was the drawing that helped process it, or speaking, or both, or whatever. But yeah, it was just, it was cool. It was a fun little experiment.
It's nice.
Yeah, I did one yesterday.
Mm.
I got to use oil pastels for the first time. Those are fun to draw with. They feel very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And
have you ever painted with acrylics?
Yes, back in high school,
yeah,
I did a few. Yeah, and that was good stuff.
How about you? I always used to enjoy the texture, the sort of plasticky kind of sheen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And doing the charcoal, and then the paint doesn't go out. Like, this, I mean, this is like a 9-year-old. I used to enjoy that process of doing the charcoal, and then the paint doesn't go outside the charcoal, and it's nice.
Yes. Yes. Art is fun.
I discovered another, I discovered a little hack.
Ooh.
For how I can justify spending my evenings.
Okay. Justification required.
No, always. Now you see, I think this is the interesting thing. It may have less to do with justification. I wonder if our idea of productivity in the sort of capitalist sense is the thing I'm draping over this, whereas actually the naked robotic core underneath is that my mind does not like to be unoccupied. It was wonderful watching. So I've been properly, like, Sherlocking at the moment. So I'm reading through, or Stephen Fry is reading to me, the collected, Sherlock Holmes definitive collection. And at the same time, I'm also rewatching the BBC modern day adaptation.
Simultaneously, or?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. The stories are very short. The Sherlock, the original stories are mostly very short. The TV episodes are very long. They're an hour and a half. They are films, and, you know, there's not that many of them because they are, like, full on, you know, pretty much feature film length.
Movies each time, yeah.
And I mean, you know, for one thing, it's interesting how unlikable, I mean, like, as a person to live with, the Sherlock in the modern day adaptation is,
yeah,
like, very different from the book, from the stories.
Okay.
He's actually, like, an odd man, and he's got his quirks, and he's, you know, often a machine, but actually what Arthur Conan Doyle wrote him a lot kinder and a lot more empathetic than, he's not a sociopath as he is in the series.
Mm-hmm.
That aside, what both of them share is an abhorrence towards being unoccupied.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm no Sherlock Holmes. I know that. But Mark's nature abhors a vacuum. And I think I've thought about it in terms of, I have to make a contribution. I have to, you know, and actually I don't think it's necessarily that.
No.
I need challenge. And so one of the things that I'm working towards now is because some of the work that I'm going to be doing, hopefully, will necessitate this, is working towards some certifications. So just getting some actual badges to say that, yes, I know exactly how to do this stuff. I'm familiar with these technologies, more than in a sense of just having been self-taught and having, you know, knowing my way around the portal. You know, I will have done the exams to say, I get this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it's a brilliant way to while away an evening if you're thinking, I don't want to be at a loose end.
Nice. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
What are you starting with?
I'm doing the Amazon Web Services cloud, sort of the entry-level cloud foundation certificate.
Cool.
So that's their whole sort of infrastructure. It's basically, like, do you have an understanding of what it is and what the various products are and stuff? Once I've got that, I can advance from there. And it's just, at the moment, I'm just watching a 14-hour YouTube video and following along. And I can do that on the sofa. And it's like, it's, you know, I'm in the living room. I can sit there with the cats. It's not taking me away from stuff, but it is occupying the brain enough. And, you know, once I've done the dishes and once, you know, the long evening sets in, if I've got nothing else to do, it's nice to know, okay, that's something that I can, you know, I can do some studying, and that's good.
That's amazing. Did you find back a couple, I think it was a couple months ago, but time is elusive for me. You were exercising pretty regularly for a couple weeks or so. Did you find during that time that your mind needed less busy work?
It's a really good question. I think it's somewhat clouded by the fact that the due to the blood pressure, I was a lot more physically tired than I should have been anyway.
Sure.
But that doesn't... No, I think I know where you're going. And I think, you know, in terms of the idea that, you know, we have this certain number of calories, and if the brain's not going to, you know, if you haven't exercised them, the brain's going to find some way of using them, and it can often tend towards anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just kind of curious about that.
See, yeah, and I respect that position.
In real world.
I don't think, if it is about excess energy, anxiety hasn't been how it's manifested itself. Sure. But I think it has been studious application. I think that's one of the things that, you know, if I apply this sort of way of looking at things to my past behavior over the last year and possibly further back, I can sort of say a lot of it has been, yes, I know we've talked about dopamine chasing and all that kind of stuff. And I think it might have been just in the way that if you take a kid with ADHD and you help them channel their energy into something, that can actually be really productive.
Yeah.
That might be where I'm at now. It's like, I just needed to channel that energy into something that felt useful. And meaning, you know, would be meaningful. I actually feel reasonably good about that as a way of expending that energy, because it doesn't preclude me from wanting to sit on, like, I'm not denying myself the ability to just sit on the sofa and play video games, and I'm probably limiting myself to no more than sort of an hour and a half of this anyway per day. It's probably more like an hour, but it's enough where I'm like, I feel like the time has been used well, you know. I think viewing it in those terms rather than it has to be about what value are you adding as a human, which is something that we've come back to time and time again.
Yeah.
Judging our worth by the things that we do or the things we make, viewing it as being less about that and actually more just about, nah, this old brain just needs to be used.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
The brain is made for using.
Yep.
Yeah, man, that makes a lot of sense to me too. I was just curious to see, not necessarily like to go anywhere with it, but just like if you had, upon reflection, that thing that we heard.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of it.
It does resonate to me in terms of like how I reflect back, and I'm just curious. Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely used like when I used to work next year I'm going to be 10 years a freelancer, which is insane.
Hell yeah.
But in my last job, I do remember one specific day having a frustrating day with a colleague who was my nemesis. And that was time when I was using the gym. And I for whatever reason, that day I was doing an evening session rather than a morning one. And I went and I put it out in the, you know, I got rid of it in the gym. Nice. And I did an hour and a half where I would normally do, you know, an hour or 45 minutes. I did an hour and a half because I was like, yeah, you know, and those moments where you're like,
yeah,
you feel it. You feel the anger. Yeah. You feel the frustration.
Yep.
You turn the music up and you just go fucking ham on something for a bit. That
red button, and we'll all go into the river below.
What made that song come up for you?
Oh, that was one, that a long time ago. You had mentioned that was on your workout playlist.
It's rejected. 61, my name is Bastard Son. That guy, the guy who was my nemesis at work, that was like one of his favorite bands, which I thought was interesting because I've only ever known that one song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I've seen them live a couple times at like Warped Tours and stuff. And yeah, I've listened to a couple of the albums. That was the only song that I could really get into. Yeah. The rest of them were fine. There's a couple other good ones, but to me.
Speaking of seeing things live.
Yeah.
Dropout are coming to the UK. Dropout Improv.
Ooh.
Are coming to the UK. Or is coming to the UK.
That's cool.
Next year. So nice. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. So, I mean.
Sweet.
I can't imagine they'll be.
Close to you, or do you have to travel a little bit?
No, I will not have to travel. They are coming to my city.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes. It's a big venue as well. So, by our standards, it's a big venue. Maybe tickets will go quickly. I don't know, but I'm going to try and nab them as quickly as possible. It's going to be good. I might buy two and then see if someone wants to come with me.
For sure.
I've got a whole year to find that out.
That's fucking
yeah,
cool,
I don't
man.
Even know who's coming. I don't know what the lineup's going to be. I don't know if it will be any of the sort of top tier. I have no idea.
But it's all good, right?
But it's all good. Exactly.
It's all good.
I'm so grateful, and I think we've said it before, I'm so grateful that Dropout exists.
Yeah. It's so cool.
The new series of Game Changer is out, and it's already just, I'm just so happy that it exists.
Amazing.
I will send you my login details.
You will send me your love in details?
Login.
Oh, you will? Oh, good. Yeah, I wanted to ask, and you read my mind, actually, at that moment.
I mean, I can't see any reason, any way in which I am impeded by doing so.
Amazing. Yeah, that'd be really great. I am currently still on my second Lent of no Reddit and no YouTube.
Oh, nice. Second Lent.
Yeah, and it's going great, dude. I don't miss it. And I'm finding more time. Like, I just feel like I don't have 30 to 60 minutes that just evaporate from the day anymore.
Oh, no.
I haven't blocked the websites.
Yeah.
If I'm searching for something, it comes up with a Reddit post about what I'm looking for.
You're not like, ah! The answer.
Yeah. And so I clicked through and I saw I had a little red badge on the bell. And so I clicked to see who replied to something I'd written. And I wrote a little reply to them and moved on. You know, and then I just closed it after, I got what I need from the... And it was, it was really great. I was thinking to myself, like, I would check every morning just to see if somebody... And then by checking, I'm like, well, nobody said
anything.
Nobody
loves it.
So I'm going to go scroll the other things and look at if there's something else I can reply to or whatever. And then, and then it just never ends, you know? And I'm not having that. And it's fucking great. And I guess, that means I could, if I wanted to, just search out the James Hoffman videos and just watch an individual one or something like that.
Going to talk about coffee.
I really like that you do that. But I really, it's like,
It
doesn't. It doesn't. No. It's like one of the least accurate impressions that I've heard you do.
Yep.
But it's a joy.
But you know what I'm going for. You know there's a thing there that I'm going for. Yeah.
There is. Yeah. And I understand. I understand. What. I haven't. I haven't done that, and I don't really feel like I need to. Like I kind of feel like I'll get to it. They'll always be there.
They'll always be there. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Do you have a sense of what you're spending your time doing? This negative space that's been created.
It's a lot of it's been puttering around the house.
That's
nice. It's springtime now, so I've been outside trimming trees. It's spring over there too.
It's spring over here too. It's so lovely here.
It's so lovely. Yeah. And it's spring over here.
So it's so lovely here.
Yeah.
What do you mean hearing loss?
What? But yeah, so we had that big tree that's out in front, and some of the branches kind of they're all a little bit droopy, and one of them droops over the fiber optic cable that comes from the pole to the house, and I'm like, I'm gonna get up on a ladder and trim that down, and did that yesterday, and did some weeding, did some mowing, and I just it's stuff that I don't think of myself enjoying, but when I'm in this mode where I'm not super distracted by things that are, you know, kind of like forcing dopamine in my eyeballs, and because that's where it goes, and
don't put it in your eyeballs,
and also Margaret and her mother have been working hard on the front yard and the garden and planting some new plants and flowers and stuff, and it looks all nice. I, in turn, want to contribute to that and keep that energy going. And I'm like, okay, you put all the plants in and you've been watering it, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to weed and I'm going to mow and I'm going to weed whack. And so it feels a bit more collaborative. In the past, I have been asked to do more yard work than I have wanted to do. And both I've had the situation where I'm distracted by a bunch of other things that aren't necessarily good distractions, and I haven't felt like there has been a reciprocated effort, but a congruent effort, a shared effort of us working on the yard together. It was more like I have to go out and do it, and I didn't like that feeling, and now I don't have that feeling, which is great. Feels like we're working on it together, even if we're doing it separately. So yeah, mostly stuff around the house. A little bit of work, a little bit of like, I have time to sit down and try to write a blog post or work on the website. Or I have been watching a bit of TV, and I'm not upset about it. I am trying to rest still. I'm trying to find time, you know, set aside time for myself to rest, and I do find that restful. But yeah, I've been thinking about work a lot, and I have that wonderful sticky note wall art that I'm working on, and showed you a photo. I'm added days of the week on the bottom, so I'm like moving just from the blanket of this week to a specific day, and I'll even put multiple things in a day, and yeah, I'm finding that helpful already. And I also find myself just existing. Just being, just not necessarily meditating, but being aware of, all right, I'm here right now. I'm sitting on the toilet and I am not looking at my phone. That's what I'm doing.
Can't imagine what that's like. You're a human being rather than human doing, as they say.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I saw a film that I think would be fodder for our discussion at some point. Mm.
What film was that?
Sinners.
Okay. I don't know what that is. Should I go in blind?
Yes. You okay. Should just go and see it.
Is it in the theater?
Yes.
The theater.
Hopefully it hasn't left. Okay. I think it's still seeable. You simply must.
Okay.
If you want to take Margaret, I don't know what Margaret's policy is, but it's it is a horror.
Yeah, she's not a fan.
Yeah.
I think my description of Heretic was like, I'd kind of like to watch it up until the end. Yeah, kind of thing. Or like, you know, we should watch it at home and then maybe I can bail out at some point kind of thing. So yeah, I don't know if this would be worse.
It's not
that.
The most important thing about the film by any stretch, but it is a part of the film.
Sure. Like in Heretic.
Yeah, I would be curious to see what you think. I might, if you go and watch it, I might go and watch it again.
Oh, nice.
Because it that good.
Cool. Oh, that's fun. I'll try and not. I'm wanting to ask you like, who's in it? Who made it?
Michael B. Jordan is in it.
Okay.
Yeah, there was one detail that I knew. Well, there was one key word that I knew that was going to come into it. Other than that, I didn't have much of an expectation.
Cool. Yeah, I don't need it.
And I don't want to furnish you with that because I'd like you to, yeah, to go in even more
cool
blind.
Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, it's fun. That I used to, or occasionally we'll have somebody just bring me to the theater and just pick the movie because I'm never looking at like what movies are coming in and stuff. Yeah. And yeah, it's always so fun to go in blind.
Yeah.
To me. Especially as a nine, like you can just go along and anybody can just choose. It's like, oh, if I don't even know and I just get surprised with it, oh, that's all the better. I don't even have to be presented with the idea of a choice. Yes.
Yeah. I don't mind making the choice. I do mm-hmm. dislike indecision. Mm-hmm. Like
your own or others or both?
Like if we're going out and we've got a bunch of restaurants we can choose from, like I just want somebody to make a fucking decision.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Like I don't necessarily want to be the one who makes it because I don't want to be responsible for other people having a bad time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, I just want someone to make a fucking decision.
Not going to be me, but someone to.
No, I think for me, like if it has to be me.
Yeah.
If I have to fall on the sword in order that the, you know, things get moving again, then that's fine. Look, we're going here.
Yeah,
and if you don't like it, that's on you for not making the decision. It's not on me for choosing the bad place. It's on you for not choosing what you wanted.
Yes.
So I've got enough about me that I can stand by that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure. I am the same way.
And I think I remember years ago seeing a film called The Man Who Sued God, which starred Billy Connolly, instead of what the group had planned to see, which was the Pirates of the Caribbean. But one of our party had heard that there was a bit in it that was scary, and so she didn't want to see it, and so we went to see The Man Who Sued God instead. And there was a brief bit of discussion about that, and I was like, yeah, I'm Paul, this is between you all. Mind getting into this one?
I'm Paul. I don't know that reference.
I'm Paul, and this is between you all. Yeah.
Is that just a rhyme
from
or is
a film?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what. And this is between y'all. Yeah, I in my head, I was thinking, is it a Quentin Tarantino? And it is. It's Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's when Bruce Willis is just looking at the little clip here. I think it's where Bruce Willis goes to see Marcellus Wallace, which is confusing because I've used one actor's name and then the character's name for the other actor because I don't know the other actor's name. But yes, Bruce Willis is his character goes to see a boxing guy, and I think that's what that comes from. So I'm Paul, and this is between, or my name's Paul, and this is between you all. So there you go. Congruent with Quentin Tarantino, the one thing I will say about Sinners is there is a lot of the N-word. So there's that. Actually, it's not that much, but there is some of it. I can't wait for you to see it.
Nice.
Not for that reason.
I will try it. I think this week would probably fit in really well if it's still in theaters. I got a contract signed for my next project. it feels pretty good. If I don't really know what to say about it. It's good. I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, it's but a it, job, oh, and it's good to have one.
One thing I was telling my art therapist about it is like it's bittersweet. It's mostly sweet, but like once it was like finally absolutely going to happen, I was kind of overwhelmed with emotion a bit and kind of crying to myself, feeling like I'm so happy and relieved that the tide has shifted and like I'm definitely feeling more work coming in. I'm feeling more stable and supported with that and like things are going to be okay. Like, so what a relief. And my wonderful season of rest is kind of coming to a close for as a season, like it'll come back, but I don't spend as much time on myself. Now I'm going to be spending more time on other people in order to make money and like, okay, well I need the money. So that's great. But,
you'll still be there and you've got things in place to continue to take care of Brendan.
I do. Yeah. And I was laying out a plan with Margaret of, of how I'm not, how I'm going to try and change my patterns of overexerting myself to, you know, not work long days, not work every day of the week, not make sure I set aside time between projects to have some rest and reset. And I think by incorporating these things, I will not burn myself out again. But yeah,
can it's I nice ask to just you, be able. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you about how are things vis-a-vis apple picking?
Yeah, that's all just fine. It's we've started two services and a neighbor. So I'm back on ButcherBox, which is a frozen meat delivery service, and they so we just get this big huge box of meat and put it in the freezer and like thaw one thing at a time. And we also, when I was at the trade show, there was a CSA box, produce delivery service that I signed up for. And so we just get produce delivered to us every other week. And then I found a neighbor on Nextdoor that has lots and lots of eggs. And so going to them for eggs. And then I've barely needed to go to the store for anything at all, which has been really great. And then when I do go to the store, I am going through the checkout counter, just like a normal human in a capitalist society.
Well done.
Yeah, it's been, you know, there's definitely, there's desire. It's like, wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have to pay? But it's, you know, it's fine. We're fine. We're comfortable. There's no scarcity mindset going on. But yeah, thanks for checking in. And that's the update on that.
That's the update on that. Okay.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about a man's work versus a tribe of men.
Sure.
And like providing and getting out into the wilderness and other things like that. It reminded me of the dream I just had last night or this morning where, man, this massive, massive, massive asteroid, like almost the size of the moon, came and collided with Earth. And like we kind of knew it was coming, and so there was this whole build up to the fact that it was coming, and then
don't look up,
yeah, and then it was like it was super interesting, the build up part, like people just kind of resigning that they're gonna die because it's pretty likely, and I went into like kind of like survival mode and found somebody's, not abandoned, but like their second home, like by a lake or whatever, just like go squatting in somebody's house that they're not using because they're in the city making money or whatever and doing their normal grind,
their city stuff. Yep.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, well, and so I'm not bothering anybody, but I'm taking up, I'm using a nice house, which is like fun. And then I'm like, well, let's get some fucking solar panels on this shit and some battery backups. And like, so I order a whole bunch of stuff that I know I'm not going to have to pay for because there's not going to be a world society anymore. And then I'm like going around and I'm like trying to scope out where there's like a Tesla Cybertruck somewhere that somebody's just going to not be able to take care of. And then I'll be able to just take it once they either die or whatever. And this is a dream, it's not realistic, but also okay. And because if I have,
it's interesting what gets acted out
in a post, in a post-apocalyptic society, like gas is going to have a low shelf life, like 6 months, maybe a year. And then likely not going to be the production and distribution of gasoline like there was. It's going to be super hard to come by. Even if you do siphon it out of somebody's car, it's probably bad. But if you had solar panels and batteries and an electric car, like, you're not going to go 300 miles a day, but you could get more fuel and you could, get around and haul stuff. And so, like that was high on my mind. Like, I don't need electricity for using my computer, but having that ability for utility, it sounded really good to me. And, you know, I was thinking about having, like, you know, Carl and Cameron, other people that are, and obviously Margaret, like, living at the place too. And, like, we've talked in the past about having an off-grid compound and commune kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll be able to do it because it's, you know, it, as long as the asteroid doesn't hit this side of the Earth and we don't get crumpled, that's great. But then, and so in my dream, that didn't happen. Like, it collided and we survived, and like tons of people died because they weren't taking care of themselves. They all rushed the grocery stores because that's where they know how to get food. I go and rush the Barnes and Noble and steal every book on survival of like how to do auto maintenance and you know, electric circuits and what I could do to repair them or build a generator or that kind of thing. Any sort of thing that I could, I no longer have access to Wikipedia. So give me all the resources. And I'm going to have shit tons of time. So, and gardening and other, you know, things that I'm going to need to learn.
So you essentially actually'd the apocalypse.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, there was also a little tangent of me like raiding a police station and stealing some weapons, but you know what? That's
a cab.
Yes. And but then a thought occurred to me as you know, since we're going down this this dream I had, if an asteroid hit the Earth, the, you know, the size of the moon, or maybe, you know, around that size, whatever, it's going to change how long a day is and how long the year is, probably, and how seasons go and how the tides go, because it's not going to, there's going to be, if there's enough mass, like, you know, we've been hit by tons of small asteroids that don't really affect the orbit or its spinning or whatever, but if it hit big enough with enough mass, like, it's going to change how fast it's spinning or how fast it's rotating around the sun. And I just thought, like, oh, that's fascinating, like, to think about, like, the longer days or shorter days or whatever, like, maybe it spins us and when, like, days are become like an hour, and like, what would that be like? Oh, man. I'm just gonna fly off the Earth. So yeah, that was my dream. Welcome to my head.
Amazing.
Have you had any fun dreams lately?
I feel like I've had a couple that were a bit more unsettling and scary
than that.
Well, mine, those sorts of things, those aren't the things that what I mean is the stuff where you wake up and you're like, I need to put a light on. Like, I'm actually scared, like, than, what an unsettling concept. What does this mean about humanity? Like, that's dark. Like, I mean the stuff that you wake up and you go, I'm going to be whistling once on my way back from the bathroom so that no one gets me in the night. Like, oh, no. which I do, you know, have. Mm-hmm. I do. I've always had those every now and again. I still get them every now and again. I couldn't tell you that, and it's always strange psychological things, like I'll turn around and a face is different or something, and sometimes it's just a feeling or a sense. It's the creepy shit that gets me. Sometimes, like, I used to have a recurring dream as a kid. Actually, one of the things that I became interested in as an adult is I started to realize, I'd be interested to know who else has this. But I started to realize that my dreams would implant false memories of other dreams.
Wow.
And it's really hard to explain how I know that.
Uh-huh.
But I figured out at some point, that's like, I never remembering this before. Like, that's the only way I could figure it out. Like, I would have dreams that would, like, call back to other dreams.
Yeah.
But I never actually had those dreams.
First dream, yeah. Whoa.
There'd be, like, prequel moments or remember when this thing happened. And it's like, yeah, I do, fully, in the fiction of the dream, I remember having that other dream. And then I wake up and I'm like... And it's only been as an adult that I've sort of gone...
Yeah.
No, hang on, if I remembered that dream, I would have remembered it.
Yeah. If I had that dream, I would remember it. Yeah.
I would remember remembering it, and I don't remember remembering it.
Uh huh.
So therefore, and it's a thing that I've realized my brain does. It creates a whole other internal fiction, which is wonderful and fascinating.
Do you think that we ever experience déjà vu while we're dreaming? What do you think déjà vu is? I mean, I know it's like the explanation of it is like your current experience is going to your long-term memory in real time or something like that. I can't remember the exact details, but that was one explanation I'd heard.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's just I don't know, other than it's like a mental hiccup. There is someone in my family who gets nauseous when they have déjà vu, which that's interesting. I kind of love it when it happens. I find it very interesting.
Oh, tell me about that.
I'm like, isn't that fun that, like, I really feel like I've been here before, but, like, there's almost no way that I could have, I know hold my nose squarely, waiter, for friendly milk will countermand my trousers. I know that that collection of words has never been said in that particular order. I'm quoting from that Ryan Laurie sketch. Confused. Okay.
No, I'm with you.
Hold the newsreader's nose squarely, waiter. So, like, I know that this particular situation has never happened, but I definitely remember it having happened last week. I definitely remember, there was this song on, and this person had just said this thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of dig it. I just think isn't that a weird, fun little mental sneeze, you know? But other people, I guess, are more unsettled by it.
Yeah, they often make me cry.
Oh, wow.
In kind of like a futility of the universe kind of thing.
Christ.
I just had it yesterday, two days ago, where I was listening to the Enneagram Journey podcast and making fresh seltzer water in my soda stream. And I'm doing this, and it wasn't just that, this feels really familiar. It was like, I remember these two guests on this podcast with these two hosts saying this exact thing while I'm doing this seltzer thing. And like, this episode just came out a couple days ago. Like, it's no way I could have. I never listened to it before, let alone it didn't exist before. And this is like, I feel like I know exactly what they're going to say. Like, it's not even I remember this. It's I can tell the future. And that feeling for me is like, I'm just reliving the same thing over and over again. I will never get out of this. I'm trapped in just doing the same fucking task forever until I figure a way out or die or something. I don't know.
Wow.
I told you about the time that I way overdosed on edibles, that I made myself pot brownies that were...
Yes.
100 times more potent than they were supposed to be. And that déjà vu experience is for me, it calls back to that time of that futility of like where my mind traveled so far down into itself that it thought it was in the Matrix, and I had the only way out of it was to kill myself. Ugh. And like that, I don't have suicidal ideation. Like, that's not something that naturally occurs for me. And it was just like, and that, when that happened, when I did overdose, I was so confused by it. I was like, really? Like, that's the way out. Like, I'm not so sure. but also, if hearing this voice telling me no, that's the only way to get out of this mess is to. So thankfully, I had no capacity to do anything.
Yeah,
except poop and throw up. happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Brendan. I remember there being a Jim Carrey, back when he was a stand-up, a Jim Carrey set where he talked about, he essentially was talking about intrusive thoughts. And this is back in, I don't know, probably late 80s, early 90s. And I can't remember his particular set, but I do remember the next day standing behind my boss and just going, if I had a heavy object, like I could just, you know, if I'm standing here with a knife, I could just do that. And it's an amazing the way your brain can just, you know, when you're like, when I don't want to do that. I don't want to do, why did you make me think that?
Yeah.
I don't want to do that, but it would be so easy, but, I don't want to. But, and you'd probably get away with it too. You're like, it's a strange thing. And I think the great talk, which I've referenced before, and it's a man I've talked about before, Michael Neal, has this talk, Why Aren't We Awesomer? And one of the things he says about thoughts is sometimes they're not even what you think. Which I think is such a brilliant phrase. Like, sometimes you have a thought and it's not even what you think. And it's like, oh, thank God someone else said that. Because, it's not what I think. But man, I thought it. But it's not what I think.
And as always, your thoughts are not yourself. Like, you are not. You are. And as always.
You got this.
and as always, you are not your thoughts. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks.